All right, how long do we have this booth for?
I think we got it from the Red Letter Media guys for like an hour, maybe a little bit more than that. So we're going to have to just try and keep on our toes here.
Wait, how do we get it from them? Who do you know?
Listen, it's a lot easier when you're in this kind of and you're in the.
So anyway, I was talking to Gimcrack the other day, and he tells me that this next movie is going to be great. I think he's a good. Oh, hey guys! What are you guys doing here?
Case Gabe, what's up, man?
What are y'all doing here?
Oh, we booked this space to get like a nice kind of controlled environment for our next movie.
Yeah, Patrick said he's got some connections at Red Letter Media.
Did you not look at the board?
The board. Yeah. Okay. The Ouija board. I did see it. It said yes.
Yeah.
We booked this space.
Yeah, we're doing Head of the Family. It's kind of like a big thing.
Hey, shut up.
Oh, hey. That's what a weird.
We're doing Head of the Family.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, we've got the recording studio here, and clearly you've got some bits. We'll just take all that content and release it on our side. How about that?
You know, that's fair. We're sticking to part three movies anyway, so this was just a bonus. So
yeah,
we'll let you guys have this one.
All right, that's fine. You wanna like co-op? Yeah, we could tag team this.
I think that's a great idea.
Wait. What if if we didn't pay three different puppeteers to operate a fake tongue to lip a woman's nipple?
I like that.
Fuck it. We're just going to cut in with that, and that's going to be our intro.
Welcome to Glass Half Full Moon, guys. This episode's already gone off the rails.
We've got. Welcome to Glass Half Full Moon, where if we didn't do any of that stuff, we're here together with the Found on Shelf people.
We're here our dear friends who we like to make suffer as much as they do us.
Right,
it's true.
We're here. It's a special occasion because Head of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, let's just say, Casey, we're going to skip the one that is next on the Full Moon features list. Alien Abduction Intimate Secrets. First of all, it's not on the streaming service.
We can't find it.
Why? Oh, I found it. I gave a copy to you guys. You just refused to watch it.
Dustin, you found it on a porn site.
Well,
listen, I'm not renting it from Gimcrack, no matter how many times you try to get me.
It only cost you your soul, but you get it for three whole nights.
We don't have any.
No, listen, soul. Do you know how many people I've already rented my soul out to?
I'm a ginger. I didn't have any currency to begin with.
I'm a ginger.
No, we're skipping alien.
All right,
we're skipping Alien Abduction Intimate Secrets. It just looks like softcore porn. We can't find it anywhere, Dustin.
I skipped through it to make sure it was a legit copy. And I mean, you're probably wise to skip this one.
Here's the thing. It's not on the Full Moon streaming service, which means they don't want us to see it. And frankly, if they don't want us to see it, I don't want to see it.
Well, neither was that Disney movie, but you found that one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but that's...
Mm-hmm.
What's the Disney one?
I mean, there's a big difference between Disney and this, but...
Yeah.
Demon in the Bottle, Patrick.
Oh, right. I do remember Demon in the Bottle.
Yeah.
But we skip Alien Abduction, Intimate Secrets. We are now moving on to Head of the Family. Which is, I would say, a film that Full Moon is very proud of. Which says a lot about Full Moon.
I'm glad that we're on for this one, because I think when you think of like really sleazy comedy movies, you think Patrick.
D- typically.
Mm-hmm. Is this a comedy?
The writer says it is.
And you know what? Patrick, who was the writer of this movie?
The official writer is Neil Marshall, but I believe he might have used a pseudonym because, like, everyone on this movie used a fucking pseudonym.
That is the writer, but he's also a co-written by one Mr. Charles Band. Mm-hmm. Which is the reason we have brought you here is because this is the first time in a while we have had a movie officially written by and directed by Charles Band.
Mm-hmm. Although the credits of the movie would lead you to believe otherwise.
Yes. So he said that he used a pseudonym for this movie because he wanted to make it look like not everything was being done by just one guy, that they're a bigger company than just Charles Band. So he's like, let me invent some fake people.
Now, what I read in regards to this was that he used the pseudonym Robert Talbot as a creation of his, as a way for him to escape the expectations of his name and a full moon and work on things that he wanted to work on.
I mean, that might be true. He just said that shit to Joe Bob in an interview. If Charlie says it, who knows if it's true or not?
We take everything.
Spin and spin and spin.
Yeah, we take everything that man says with a grain of salt.
It's probably Charles Band was like, you know, it would be a lark if I just used a pseudonym.
But then everyone in this movie does. I mean, not everyone, but like most of them.
I mean, do you really want to be connected with this?
Probably not, no.
It's kind of like Redneck Zombies. It's just everyone using a fake name in that movie, too. But, you know, am I bad for kind of liking this movie?
This movie? I love this movie. I get it.
Listen, so we'll start off by asking the question, was this a good movie?
It was a fun movie. I love this movie. Yeah. Quality good? I don't know if I could say that, but definitely I'm recommending it to people.
Yeah, I mean, from the production standpoint, from some of the practical effects, and from actually having a plot, I would say it was a good movie.
I'm actually kind of indifferent on this one. Although on a rewatching, I'd probably like it more, just because on my first viewing, I ended up despising our main characters, but that's probably meant to be on purpose.
Oh, Lance and Loretta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
No, yeah. These are definitely people you're meant to hate. I think that this film was certainly, compared to some of the other Full Moon movies we've watched lately, was very consistent with what it wanted to be.
It was.
It was exceptionally consistent. It was exceptionally, like, I felt like there was a consistent theme or there was a consistent, like, style to it that it was going for.
Yes.
Yeah, it had a plot. It had a structure. That's something that a lot of these movies just tend to forget about.
Plot.
Wait, this was an actual movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was an actual movie.
You've now experienced Head of the Family.
We have now experienced a three-act structure.
Yeah. I mean, compared to Sister Krampus,
Jesus.
This is a movie.
Should we start jumping right into it?
Yeah, let's jump.
We open up on a image of a home with music that my note on it says is Pee-wee has a bowel movement.
It is very accurate. Danny Elfman wannabe.
I actually wrote, it's like Casper meets Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's very eccentric and jaunty music being played over a still image of a house.
It's actually not even an image. It's actually film. You can tell it's being filmed. It's legit like a minute of just a long shot of this home.
Like Andy Warhol's Empire, but Charles Band's take on that. It felt very the it feels very sitcom to me. Like not quite, but kinda.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, a little Full House. A little Full House ish.
Pee-wee's Full House.
Yes,
Pee-wee's Full House.
And as we're watching, eventually our titular family makes an appearance, and they are very into red.
Yeah.
A trio of rather odd individuals who walk in unison, descending the porch steps, staring ahead with purpose. Or maybe just no thoughts in their brains whatsoever.
I was looking at them, and specifically later on, I was thinking, what direction were they given? Were they given any direction?
I think the silence is the answer.
I don't know. I'd love to see like a behind the scenes set of what it actually looks like on a Charles Band set. Like, what is going on? What's being said to people in general?
Apparently this movie was filmed in only 10 days.
But they had to do reshoots. It wasn't quite 90 minutes and they needed to fill time. Yeah, so they had to call Jacqueline Lovell back and they said, Jacqueline, we need you to come back. We've got to make more sex scenes to get to 90 minutes.
Is that why they stretched out that intro so long?
A lot of the sex scenes are reshoots. Uh-huh. Hello.
So all right. Patrick, reshoots.
Yes, so reshoots.
Speaking of reshoots.
So to get to 90 minutes, they had to call Jacqueline Lovell back and like, Jacqueline, we need you to come back. We've got to shoot more sex scenes to get to 90 minutes.
Jeez.
So I did see apparently on IMDb there's a trivia note that she showed her daughter this movie.
I said it's the only movie she showed her daughter on IMDb.
Oh boy.
Which I have to ask, what were the other movies she's done? I'm kind of scared to go look.
Oh, they're mostly porn. She was a pinup girl and then a porn actress.
Yeah, Charlie knows where to find them.
So like, yeah. One of two adult stars in this movie, the other one being Alexandria Quinn, who plays Ernestina. That's why you really have found on shelf on here. Yeah. It's for the porn history, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've got a lot to say about her, but I'll do that later. Let's get into the movie first.
Apparently Jacqueline Lovell also did a movie called Dweegans and Leprechauns.
What?
Interesting.
I've posted it.
Was that just a voiceover for that?
Yeah.
She's also in Hideous, which is another.
Is that one of those?
That's an upcoming for us.
Yeah, the same writer Neil Marshall does this one. He considers it part of a comedy trilogy he did for Full Moon, but they're not related. So it's like an art house trilogy, but Full Moon style.
It's like Reanimator and From Beyond.
I was gonna say it's more like the Cornetto trilogy, but now it's the Pornetto trilogy.
That's pretty good. I was gonna say like Park Chan Wook's Vengeance trilogy, but you know, lowbrow.
Yeah,
I like Pornetto better.
Yeah. So let's move forward because we get to go to the diner and properly meet our cast of characters.
Yes. Yeah.
We have Lance, mm-hmm. who is a scumbag.
Yep.
We have
Howard, who is a scumbag. A bounty hunter looking jackass.
Those were my exact. I wrote skinny dog the bounty hunter.
And we also have Loretta, who is a scumbag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And likes ice cream.
It's like Tennessee Williams by way of a B movie.
Yeah, a lot of hateable people, but still fun.
A lot of hateable people. So the dynamics we have here is Lance and Loretta are having an affair because Loretta is married to Howard, but Howard himself is like some kind of shakedown guy who's a big old criminal and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's the local organized crime.
He's local, you know.
Which is not entirely untrue to Southern communities, because I know a lot of them were like the entire mafia is just one dude.
Yeah. And we also get a line here that it really stuck with me, where Howard says, "Sometimes I feel like a big old turd in a small toilet."
There's so many good lines in this movie. I'm sorry. The dialogue's hilarious.
The dialogue is actually great.
Right off the bat, though, this movie's rather on the vulgar side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it lets you know what it is pretty quickly.
Right, because I think to describe Ernestina as fuckable in text.
But fuckable, but she's a retard. was his phrase.
Two things. Firstly, it's in the 90s. Yeah, of its time.
It's funny though. Everybody who's not one of the titular family, it's like their favorite word is fuck.
Yes.
It's their favorite verb, it's their favorite noun. It's their favorite pronoun.
It's kind of weird. A flexible word.
Yeah. Dustin, did you provide a fuck counter for this one?
I did not. Perhaps I should have, but I did not.
I mean, technically, we kind of did provide a fuck counter.
I was going to say, speaking of fuck counter.
Speaking of fuck counters, Loretta and Lance go to the back room. And this is the one of, how many did you say, Casey? Five scenes of them fucking?
Five.
Five.
There are five scenes
of intercourse.
Five sex scenes in this movie. Wow.
Most of them on this counter.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's actually true. Three of the five of them are on this back counter.
It's how we get that great line of, what's the point in killing your husband if you can't fuck in a bed?
Yeah.
What a great line.
Are we gonna, so I Patrick, you mentioned to me you wanted to bring up their accents.
Yeah, so I'm from the South. Casey and Gabe, you're both from the South too, right?
Yes.
I don't know where I'm from at this point.
Fair enough.
I barely know where I'm at now.
I know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm from.
All right. You have an opinion on Southern accents, though, I assume, in film. Because they're always bad, but for different reasons. I'm sorry, Gabe, what were you going to say?
No, so this movie is set in Florida.
Mm-hmm. It's set in Florida? Oh, that makes so much sense.
Filmed in California, set in Florida.
Yeah.
And there is a point
where... That's what these people are terrible.
No, but there is a point where Loretta mentions how Howard is going to mess up someone in Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, Riley, North Carolina. That must be where this is set.
That's where I thought.
Yes. But no, this is Florida.
I thought she was saying Raleigh in a terrible accent, so I assumed Virginia.
Here's the point. We all assumed it wasn't Florida.
Yeah, but it was in fact Florida.
Knowing now it was set in Florida makes so much more sense. That's why these people are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that very well could be.
Oh, and also, for some reason, Loretta likes being called Scarlet while they fuck.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's a Southern joke. I feel like they're reaching and they're not nailing something. I think they're like, this seems funny,
they were
right?
Nailing something.
Kadoosh.
I think they were like, huh, like, get it? It's like, no, we don't get it because it wasn't good. I did write down a note that Loretta, who we were just talking about, I wanted to mention that she was in a movie called Nude Bowling Party, which is pretty much exactly what you think of. It was just a bunch of naked women bowling.
If I wanted to watch that, I'd watch Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowlerama.
Yeah, there's no sex, there's no plot, it's just naked women with shoes and socks bowling. That's it. Just, you know.
Everybody's got a fetish, dude.
Ah.
It's like the opposite of a foot fetish.
Yeah, actually, yeah. That does make it weirder when you say that out loud, doesn't it?
Do not show me your disgusting feet. Yeah, no, there's a lot of
this is the entire show has come to came to a halt. But no, yeah, that's just there's a lot to unpack around their interpretation of the South. But Loretta is like putting a twang in her voice and then enunciating very precisely, which is like combining those two things makes my brain go, what are we doing here, guys?
What we're doing here is we're making a full moon movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if it makes Charles Band laugh, it's in the movie.
Very true. Or turns him on. One of those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then and of course after this scene.
So what you're saying is it tickles his funny boner.
Yes, as long as it tickles his funny boner, it's in the movie.
And Casey, I'm disappointed.
I thought that was your eternal state with me.
Disappointment?
Yes.
So, Howard is like, in the next scene, we haven't even finished the first scene of the movie, but we need to keep moving.
Yeah.
So Howard is like, hey, I'm going to shake down your diner. Lance, while he's putting together a gun piece by piece because he
saved money.
Guns are apparently the new computers.
It's like that oh god, I'm having one of my moments where I forget something very obvious. What's his name? Man in Black?
Will Smith?
Tommy Lee Jones.
No, the fucking the singer the
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, take a piece by piece. The one where he's like stealing a car piece by piece.
Yeah, did it one time.
But a gun.
Yeah.
All right.
One piece at a time.
Jesus.
And we just get the sense that not a single one of these characters is meant to be likable.
Mm-hmm. I have a theory as to why. Do you remember the TV show Monsters from the 80s?
I loved that show.
Okay, so it's a great show. It's fun. It's funny. It's kind of like this, with usually a bunch of despicable people have a Tales from the Crypt kind of like EC Comics, like hour-long episode thing happen to them. But like Monsters, they spent a lot of money on Monsters. It was a little comedic, little creepy, little weird, and they had some cool effects, right? That's where Neil Marshall, the writer of this film, worked on. He worked on Monsters. He wrote for Monsters. He got paid $4,000 a script for an episode of Monsters. Every episode, $4,000. Boom. Per script. Now, Monsters got canceled. He needed to feed his family. He calls up Charles Band, says, can I work for y'all? And the person at Full Moon he's speaking to says, absolutely. $2,000 a script. Which lets you know exactly what their going rate is and what the cost to write this movie. And also why this movie is structured the way it is structured. It is basically that's why they needed to fill it with time, because he wrote it as like an hour long, like TV show.
That does make so much sense though. Those like early to mid 90s horror anthology shows, like you're meant to despise those characters. That way you can root for what's going to end up happening to them.
Yeah. And then if you view this movie through that lens, the entire thing kind of clicks into focus.
That makes so much more sense. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of that, because I've been binging Tales from the Crypt like a motherfucker.
Oh, Tales from the Crypt is great.
So after that scene, we get a bit more into the functioning of this. What was the name of the family?
The Stackpools.
Stackpools.
Stackpool family. Where Wheeler, they have
Otis and Ernestina.
Yes, where we cut to a scene of the of them in at night, where they're wheeling this fence out over across the highway, quote unquote. And some chuckle nuts comes up, sees this is very clearly a fence covered in leaves, and thinks, man, I'd better go find a way around this.
Mm-hmm.
And drives off into the Stackpool land where first of all, we hold on Loretta and Lance fucking in a car for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sex scene number two at the 15-minute mark.
All right.
They're a healthy sexual appetite.
Yeah.
And then they also end up going down this road where they see the fence. Lance gets out, goes to investigate the Stackpole residence because he knows that the Stackpoles are right over there. He watches as this guy gets pulled out of his car, slammed against
the
hood of his car, and dragged inside. And that is the inciting incident of our plot. Hunk of Love license plate. I did not know what to expect from this film, but get it out of the way. The plot is blackmailing a bunch of mutants.
I wasn't quite expecting the blackmailing part, but I mean, it kind of reminded me almost of like, shit, was it movie Dan Aykroyd? Nothing but Trouble.
It was kind of like Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, you're kind of dealing with that kind of weird mutant-ish kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gave me vibes of that. So, but I wasn't. I didn't expect him just to right away. Well, who knows? I wasn't expecting so much sex either. So, whatever. They beat the guy up and bring him in the house.
They bring him in the house. They are going to experiment on him. We get a look at Wheeler's eyes, which is the one of two practical effects in this movie.
Well, all the effects in this movie are practical. Just some of them are forced perspective.
Well, so Wheeler has big old bug eyes.
Yeah, it looks like Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I was going to say it looks like Steve Buscemi.
I was going to say Graves' Syndrome times 20.
All right. What do you got, Patrick?
I believe is what Steve Buscemi has.
I was going to say, I think he has glaucoma and no one should challenge his weed prescription.
The worst case of glaucoma I've ever seen.
Well, and from there we move on to Lance formulating his plan, which is he is going to go to back to the Stackpole family.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to explain. He is going to tell them, "Hey, I know what you did.
Yep,
kill Howard."
Mm-hmm.
But when he meets, first of all, I don't understand what his play is here. When he goes out and like just tries to stop the Stackpole family in the middle of the street,
right?
He's dumb as shit. This is play.
Like he knows that they are clearly murderers or at least kidnappers.
Yeah,
and he's just like, "Hey, I know what you did." And Otis, the big dumb ball, picks him up, and it's like, "What did you expect to happen?"
Yeah. They literally steal him from his bed and his purple silk pajamas.
You know,
he's got some nice jammies.
Yeah, and a one room apartment.
Yeah, his little studio. He's got those Dr. Mordred jammies on. He's rocking it.
What was his bed?
I don't know.
Probably some cardboard boxes with a blanket on them.
Yeah, but like there's cardboard boxes with a blanket on them, but on his headboard, there's going to be like a sign if you move the pillows. It says the Fuck Palace.
He would too.
He's like, "Yeah, I got some real shag carpet in on the mattress for shagging."
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm two beers deep. I got to.
All right.
He also refers to his junk as Lance's Lance, I'm sure.
Does he say that?
No, but I know he does.
Here's the thing. That was so believable. We thought he said it in the movie. Okay. And when Lance is kidnapped.
Hold on. Casey, you still there?
It's not an issue. I will stitch together in post.
just we'll play you all the audio from of us, and you just have to fill in what you think you said at those times. Go.
Okay, so let's. So, what's his nuts? Lance got kidnapped. He's taken to the Stackpole home. We finally get a look at Myron, the titular head of the family. And I often ask this when we see practical effects, what did we think of this movie monster?
I thought there was an awful lot of sex for a movie that's hinging on a Nickelodeon effect.
I like Myron. I really loved his voice and his delivery of his lines.
The actor really does carry it.
It was fantastic.
I really like this. It was pretty simple, considering all of the scenes we see of Myron are either close-ups on his face or forced perspective, which is honestly a nice, simple way to achieve the effect that they were going for. Just well-lit forced perspective. So I was looking at it kind of as like from a technical standpoint, but also he did very, very well considering he's incredibly eloquent.
Yeah. Well, he's the head of the family.
They immediately pop him literally calling himself the head of the family.
Yeah, they did. I think he says, pardon the expression. Head of the family.
Yes, he does.
it's great. His delivery is great.
The problem with the force perspective is I was always unsure of how large Myron was meant to be.
At least they give you some perspective at the end.
We'll get to that.
But it is here where we are informed that he controls his siblings to do his bidding via his immense intelligence, and each of the quadruplets has a certain trait amplified to near superhuman levels, with Otis being stronger than any man alive. Wheeler's senses are impeccable. Like, he's got, like, the vision of a hawk. He's got eyes like, ears like a bloodhound. And Ernestina is pretty.
Ernestina has the power of hot.
He said, and I need not tell you of Ernestina.
He also implies he uses her body for sex. Like,
I mean, he does. We see it.
But I don't think he has sex with her, but vicariously through her.
Through her. Like, okay, I want to get into the mechanics of their telekinesis.
It's like it's like VR porn, but in first person perspective.
POV. Have you seen the Megan the Stallion? Oh wait, that was last episode.
I just saw the SNL video. I don't know what you're talking about. But later, he says something about submerged. Their minds are submerged. I'm like, so are they empty vessels, or is he suppressing whatever they are so he could control them? Like the sunken place.
He's suppressing them because we do see Otis later on does act on his own free will.
Mm-hmm. You guys have been way more thought into this movie than the people that made it.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point of these shows.
I know.
So here's my thing with the Stackpole family.
Yeah.
Is once Myron starts going into all of their special powers, I start thinking, okay, is Charles Band trying to sell us toys, or like what's going on here? And I was thinking about how they look and how Wheeler's really the only one that has anything physical with them. What this movie really needed was more mutants. Like, do you guys remember the movie Freaked?
Oh, I loved Freak. I loved that movie. Yeah, Alex.
This movie needed more just freak ass weirdos going around doing weirdo things.
I am always on board for more freak ass weirdos. That sounds great.
It is funny that you mentioned more mutants, because according to what I read on IMDb, this movie was kind of inspired by like the Munsters and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I get sure, what it is.
Yeah, I get the Munsters. Okay.
Right down to the fact that there's just a normal looking one. Because the Munsters, you have all of them, and then their deformed cousin Marilyn. So it's like all these freaks, and then also Ernestina. So like it is very Munsters.
Ernestina with the power of boobs.
Charles Band's tell you
power. Have we talked about the Monster Bra at any point on the show?
Yes.
Yes, we have.
I just can't ever get over the ad copy that Charles Band wrote. It's burdened. Like, what fucking idiot?
Well, Charles Band is a pervert.
That's true.
I don't know where I was going with this.
Yeah.
No, so as the movie goes on, Lance shows up and is like, yeah, I totally saw you murder this guy. And Myron's like, well, I'm just going to murder you. And Lance is like, no, I have this elaborate plan set in place. And something I did appreciate about this movie is there was thought put into why people just can't kill each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that actually surprised me is he wasn't bullshitting.
No.
It's always like people bullshitting and saying that there's this plan, but no, he's got a plan. That was like, I was like, oh.
And it's honestly pretty sound.
And a backup plan.
The characters in this are assholes, and you're not supposed to root for them, but they are competent.
Competency is something we rarely see within these films. I don't think we usually recognize it. So
Myron,
just because we don't see it.
Lance is like, I have a lawyer. I have a letter for the lawyer, and I'm going to call into the lawyer every so often just to make sure that he knows I'm okay. If I ever don't call in, or if I ever arrive there with someone else, he is going to just send that letter. He has straight to the police. So you got to play ball, or I'm just going to release all your secrets. And so he's like, kill Howard. And we can just leave all this behind us. We can just go about our ways.
Yeah.
Which they do. They hold up their end of the bargain pretty effectively.
He has at least two Myron figurines on Full Moon Features right now.
Ooh. I know what someone's getting for Christmas. Yeah, and I mean that was kind of the plan to kill him, but he doesn't. We forgot to mention when they took the hunk of love guy, they did show the scene of why they're taking these people, and it was all these kind of brain dead lobotomized people in this dungeon underneath, and apparently he's been trying to find a good
vessel
for his brain.
Yeah, but also he uses them for theater productions. Have any of you seen Bloodsucking Freaks?
I think it's Bloodsucking Jones.
I have not.
Okay, so I don't recommend it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
What did she say?
I can make it work. So Bloodsucking Freaks.
Okay, so Bloodsucking Freaks. I don't recommend this movie, but it is a famous movie. A large portion of Bloodsucking Freaks is them kidnapping women, mostly women, some men, and then performing lobotomies and weird brain surgeries on them to make them kind of like, much like the people you see here. And then they keep them in a cage, much like you see here, and then also use them for theater productions, much like you see here. Mm-hmm. So there are aspects of this movie that are definitely inspired by Bloodsucking Freaks, but less offensive than Bloodsucking Freaks.
So yeah, Myron's plan, if we can go as far as to say it, is to find a host to fit his brain in so that he can be a real boy with a normal body.
Mm-hmm. Now listen, it's not wrong because we're only using 10% of your brain.
Listen,
if you're using 70% of your brain, you could alert the Satanists. I'm sorry, we'll have to cut that. That was from our episode last week.
No, we're not cutting it. We're keeping all of this. So Myron also says his plan is world domination. That's never really explained. We're just going to move on from that.
I almost feel like it's a Pinky in the Brain thing at that point.
Yeah, I got Pinky in the Brain vibes.
Honestly, if you've got a giant head and a massive intellect, obviously you need to attempt to take over the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of only one ending for you, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, my gigantic blue head.
I can just get out of this wheelchair.
It's like, well, I got nothing else to do.
And so the next scene. My job
prospects are limited.
So they get Howard. They lobotomize him. They put him in the basement. Lance is like, awesome, cool, this is great. Oh, but also, give me your money.
Yeah, give me $2,000 a week.
This is his first main mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pushed it too far.
Oh, now Patrick.
Also, they feed their prisoners raw potatoes.
Yeah. When I wrote this down because I thought it was a very particular number, and that was kind of weird. But Lance bribes them for $2,000 a week. And didn't you say that the writer of this movie was told he would get $2,000 a script?
Yes. Oh, God, that's so good.
I think you wrote that line in there as an F you to them.
I think you did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
Now, God, that's good. I will say also, Lance, after this, now he gets his blackmail arrangement. He acts like he's living high off the hog. He doesn't have to worry anymore. Yeah, $2,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no.
I was going to say, about how much is $2,000 in today money as opposed to 1996 money?
I did it. It's about $204,000 a year in today's money, which is a good income yearly, but not enough to say, I'm going to like let this entire business of mine that I own go to the wayside over here, and I've got bigger and better things all the way over somewhere else over here. It's fine. You don't have to worry about anything ever again. Like $200,000 is a lot of money a year, but it's not like he's not a millionaire here, which is what he's acting like, in my opinion.
When you're living in the sticks of Florida, you're kind of a millionaire.
You know what? Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good argument. Do you know how much meth you can buy for $200,000?
Enough for Myron. That big old fuck.
Take quite a bit.
So the Lance pushes too hard. He takes the he's like $2,000 a week, and they just have a big old drawer full of money, I guess.
Yeah,
$2,000.
They don't trust banks.
You know, that actually tracks.
And with that, they're also like, well, okay, now we got to kill him. And we go through the process of them basically just listening in on Lance constantly, getting an idea of who his lawyer is, getting an idea of how to deal with him. And they go to the lawyer, and we get a brief scene of Wheeler and Otis getting a ticket. Mm-hmm. Otis sees a pretty woman and says, "Pretty woman, don't worry, that's plot relevant."
Mm-hmm.
Pretty girl.
Mm-hmm. And they go to the lawyer and they just punch the secretary.
Yeah. It's so good. I just watched David Fincher's The Killer and with Michael Fassbender, the same exact scene.
This scene is just excellent all the way through.
Yes, it's great.
Yeah.
Where they go in, they knock the secretary out with a single punch. She's laying back like a cartoon character.
And feet sticking straight up.
Straight up. They go in to see the lawyer, and they pretend to break his fingers, which I thought was very, very fun.
Yeah.
Where they're just kind of bending his fingers and adding sound effects in after the fact, where they're like, give us the letter. Gives him a letter.
Well, they spent all the prosthetic budget on Myron. They didn't have the money for breakable fingers.
Yeah. They could afford celery. That's about all we got here, guys.
They could afford celery for the Foley, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
But he hands over the letter, and they're like, "Give us the copies." And he's like, "What the fuck do you mean? There are no copies." And they're like, "All right, cool." And they break his neck.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. They're murderous bad people. Let's go.
But he's also a lawyer, so.
Only by the barest of definitions is he human, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
So after
they get... Everybody is hateable in this movie.
Yes.
A lawyer who didn't do anything at all.
The one lady that Lance has at the diner.
Oh, Susie.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. She's the one good character.
She's playing Flo.
Yeah.
Not the progressive lady.
No, from Alice's Diner.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves here.
Well, kiss my grits.
I'm assuming that Ernestine is not just like supposed to be just hot in this movie. I think she's got like some temptress power or something.
Absolutely not. She's just supposed to be hot in this movie.
Well, no, because. You know, she tries to seduce Lance, and why would he fall for that if he knew that that was her trick? You know, like if he knew that was
because he's
trick.
Lance. Have you not been watching the movie?
Because he has a penis.
I'd like to think there's something more to her power, like her pheromones cause people to go crazy.
Listen,
power is boobs.
And Charles,
her power is her implants.
In Charles Band's mind, it's the same thing that you're talking about, Dustin.
I mean, to be fair, this is a power that most women have, and it does work like this.
Yeah.
As the only woman here, I will have to take your word for it.
Most men can't be swayed by the power of boobs.
The power of boobs compels you. The power of boobs compels you.
Yes, God!
As written by William Peter Blatty.
I've smuggled a second soundboard in.
Yes. We have dueling soundboards now. It's great.
Yeah. Only most of them, I haven't refreshed it from last week, so most of them are just clips from religious songs.
Oh, yeah. No, I still have.
Okay. So the Ernestine seduces Lance. Lance gets kidnapped, and they also kidnap Loretta. And they are put into a situation. Well, Lance is just kept upside down, and they're kind of like bartering, trying to figure out like, okay, I have a second lawyer whom the first lawyer was calling. And I'm like,
this one's all bullshit. This line's all bullshit, right?
This part of the play is all bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I got a second lawyer. And if the first lawyer ever comes up dead or missing.
Yeah.
It's lawyers all the way down.
And then
just like hell,
we get the scene that Charles Band has called, quote, the money shot.
Okay.
The greatest scene in Full Moon history.
This is his exact words to Joe Bob on the last drive-in 2 years ago. He called this scene the most fun scene in cinema history. And I think I might take issue with that one.
Most fun scene.
Fun scene. Here's the thing.
This scene is so defining to who Charles Band is as a person. Is that he took specific time in his autobiography to write about this scene.
You should probably preface by saying this scene is Loretta attempting to seduce Myron.
Yeah.
To get out of whatever torture he's set to place upon her.
Yeah. Someone to say like give me 10 seconds of footage to really get the understanding of Charles Band. you just throw this on and be like, there you go. That's all you need to know right there. That's
Charles. A giant head.
So Loretta is, like you said, she's like, you know, what's really sexy is a mind. You know, give me a mind. So she's like, she's like, you've got a big fuckable brain. Is what she's trying to sell Myron on. And then to help it, she takes her nightie off, and then Myron, God help us, decides to lick her nipple, but
his big,
long, slimy,
uncomfortable tongue.
So you read the book. You probably have more detail, because what the way I heard him tell it is that it took three puppet operators and a pulley system to get this done.
He did mention that there was extra Vaseline. They had to, like, apparently go for like a couple hours to try and like learn how to do it. The one thing that I did take from this, the actress whom we've established is a seasoned adult actress. After this scene went down, after the scene went down, she said, "I feel like my soul needs a shower."
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That's quite a statement. I just don't know how to follow that.
It doesn't recontextualize how I picture Charles Band, but it really helps cement it.
Yeah, reinforces a lot of things.
Jesus.
So we get this extended scene of them, of Myron being seduced by Loretta.
But here's the thing. It doesn't even work.
It is for naught.
He is too smart for that.
He's too smart. He took the opportunity only to lick her nipple.
Yeah.
But he decided he's a career man. He has, you know, he's no time for romance.
He has ambitions.
Yeah. He's gonna be too busy taking over the world to cater to her needs.
Yeah, I'm just gonna lick a boob and I'm on with my plans.
Lick boob, world domination.
Well, lick boob, stage of play, world domination. So honestly, it's kind of like the Frankenfurter playbook at this point.
Yeah, and this is the part where they do the play.
So what you're saying is this is a Rocky Horror Picture Show 3?
Yeah. Oh, God. There's a third. It would be the third.
That's why you were doing this. That's why you were doing this for your show.
What if the floor show in an empty house in the middle of the night?
As long as it's not shock treatment. Right.
With a giant head.
What diabolical chicken stamped on your head and shit on your tie?
Myron never gave head, which was a huge missed opportunity.
Well, I mean, this isn't Reanimator, which has the beautiful visual pun of a head giving head.
I mean, there was time. Lance was right there.
So we apparently Myron is not swayed by the feminine wiles of Loretta and decides to cast her as Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
What was this scene?
What was this scene? It was the John Wilkes Booth stage.
Okay.
I don't know why they needed to throw that line in there either, but
they were trying to sell this to South. Okay. I want to go back to they're pulling from blood-sucking freaks because there's no reason to have theater on stage otherwise. Now, in blood-sucking freaks, the theater is avant-garde theater that's actually live torture. But here, he's like, what if we just stage to play? But why is it Joan of Arc? That's the real interesting thing. Why pick that one?
Public domain.
So they could burn her.
Yeah, burn the witch.
Incendiary topic.
$2,000 a script. That's what.
Listen, Joan of Arc. $2,000 a script. And We also get another great line that stuck with me, where I forget who said it, but they said, "You can go fuck yourself if you have a dick to fuck yourself with."
Yes, Lance says it to Myron. He, you know what? I think he even says, "If indeed," like he throws in an extra adjective in there. I'm pretty sure.
It's great.
A good line.
It's a good line. This movie has so many good lines. I wish I had written half of them down.
Yeah, I should have prepared my soundboard with them, man. Yeah, and she's like reading the play from off the paper as she's there, because they've got it all tied up and
she's got a copy of it in her hand, and one of the patients has it taped to his front.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's not.
And every great. Time she gets a line wrong or she talks back, she gets a little shock, and it's obviously not an actual shock. It's just a very poorly acted shock.
Yeah, she is not.
See, that's why her performance is so bad.
Yeah, that could be. And they strip her all her clothes off, and she's just standing there naked. So
yeah, that might. Yeah,
that did just help the concentration.
Naked woman. Yeah. Oh, we never specifically called it out, but you know, tits. Anyway,
there's a lot of full frontal nudity in this movie that you don't normally see in like full movie features.
It's true. Like, there were boobs and a couple instances of bush.
Yeah.
So, we get an extended scene of them reading Joan of Arc, presumably because they needed to fill time. They light Loretta on fire because Myron, or rather Lance, is refusing to give the name of his second lawyer, presumably because there isn't one.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And Otis likes the pretty lady and doesn't want to see her get hurt. Myron tries to exert his power over him and he fails. And Otis proceeds to go on a rampage and allowing the whole building to go up in flames.
He flips the set the building on fire switch. He goes down to the basement.
He even strictly says, pretty girl, don't burn. House will burn.
House will burn.
House will burn.
Gabe, just drop in the talking heads there.
And then I was like,
"Talking heads do music for this movie."
And this is when I was like, "Wow, the ending of The Devil's Rejects got real weird."
Okay, but here, in this moment, as when he sets the house on fire, Lance seizes an opportunity to escape now that Otis isn't there, and everything's going to hell. The house is on fire. The inmates are fleeing the asylum, and Myron's trying to escape, and Lance throws Myron down the stairs, and it's the only shot, the only thing in the movie that isn't forced perspective, where they've built a giant head and you see exactly how big the head of the family is.
I wonder if I can buy that prop.
That would be so good.
I would love to have that and just like sit him up in like my living room.
I will buy him for you for Christmas if I can find him.
Just push him down the stairs once in a while.
Yeah,
the stairs. All time sick.
Who cares about movie history, right?
That's movie history. Pushing him down the stairs. You got to reenact the scenes. It's like the Civil War reenactment. You got to dress the part and push him down the stairs.
But Myron gets thrown down the stairs. Lance is trying to escape, but then gets seduced by
Ernestina
Boob Lady. Boob Lady.
Hootie
McCooterson.
I said Hooves McCooterson. Let's have a little class here, Patrick.
And Myron not Hootie realizing. And the That's it, folks.
Not talking for that line.
Good night, folks.
Once again, I have killed Patrick.
Lance is seduced by Boob Lady and is you know, killed. And we see that head of the family lives to fight another day.
But before this, as Otis and Loretta escape from the burning house,
and then they go and get married. What?
She realizes that Otis is the last remaining stock pool, and therefore heir to the family fortune. So she marries him for his money.
Point being, Loretta comes in, marries Otis. Otis starts laughing like a weirdo. Movie over.
There was apparently a sequel in the works for the longest time, but it's never been confirmed. There is no
Bride of the Head of the Family.
Yeah, Bride of Head of the Family.
And they just mentioned something, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen. But who knows?
They did tweet about it last week.
Well, before we get to the next step, I do have to tell a little story about Ernestina.
It's going to be sad, isn't it?
Okay. Well, she has a wild history. Okay. In 1991, she won her very first acting award, and that was an Avian Award for the best group scene in Buttman's Ultimate Workout. So she's an award-winning actress.
Live studio audience, everyone.
She was born in 1973 and started acting in adult films in 1989. And for those of you that don't want to do the math, she was 16. She was, her name is frequently mentioned with Tracy Lords as far as major scandals in the adult industry. She began stripping in Canada when she was 14, and then she met a porn actress, moved to LA, and just started lying about her age and faked an ID, which said she was born in 68. So everyone thought she was 22. And then in 1991, she forgot to, this was after the Avian Awards, she forgot to bring her fake ID to a film shoot and figured, I'm really 18 now, so it shouldn't matter. But then they noticed the discrepancy in the age that she is now versus the age she said she was, you know, a month ago. And they got pissed. They destroyed nearly 60 movies that she made in those 2 years.
I feel like my soul needs a shower.
Yeah. Well, she was blackballed from the industry.
Yeah, that'll happen.
For a couple
blackballed
years.
Or blueballed.
Good night, everybody.
When she was close to doing, it was easy for the industry to tell when she did because she didn't get her fake boobs until she was 18. So they're like, oh, real boobs, destroy it. Fake boobs. All right, she's good. And but once she was 30, she got back in the industry to do MILF videos. So there was still work for her then. So
was she on MILF Manor?
She was not on MILF Manor.
Oh. Man, there's always hope for the second season.
If there's a second season, God willing.
Casey, Patrick.
Yes.
Dustin.
Yes.
Would you like to hear a review for this movie?
Oh, God, I would love to hear a review of this movie.
Go for it.
10 out of 10 stars.
Wow.
Title of this review, You're a Bunch of Poor Little Babies Scared of Naked Women.
Did Joe Bob write this?
I love this movie. I can't believe the reviews I've read here concerning the wonderfully handled nudity of the satirical bit of horrific gore. The fact that many of the reviewers can't call this a horror movie because it doesn't contain heaps of graphically tortured, dismembered, and degraded victims, yet express shock at the sexuality shows how far the horror genre and its devotees have fallen. Everybody involved in this film rises above any expectation of a direct-to-video production. Direction is crisp, legible, and to the point. The acting is full of fun, and the redneck characters are artfully realized. The sex is a hoot, and played much more satisfactorily than the average stripper playing vampire flick of the era. Do yourself a favor and treat yourself to a double feature with Hideous, another full moon flick with much of the cast and wit of this little jam. But first, unclench those cheeks. You'll be better for it.
Okay, 2 points. One, This is a great review. I love that you went on all in on that voice, because it was like this close to, now I'm just a simple country lawyer. And yeah. I love that shit. That was great.
You're going to have some banjo music playing in the background, right? Some Deliverance.
Only if you don't unclench your cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You had a second point.
Was it Lance's Lance?
I don't. You know what?
What's your second point?
I'm done.
I guess I should say, do you guys agree with this review?
I don't think so. I don't know.
This isn't a horror movie.
It's not. Yeah.
This is a black comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah, the dialogue alone tells you it's a comedy.
Would you recommend this film to anyone?
I would, with the caveat that I would probably tell them how much sex is actually in it before I tell them to watch it.
So you're just saying is you'd screen your movies before you make people watch them? Justin!
I don't even know what that is. You don't just force people to watch movies? I'm just glad there wasn't any, like, you know, there wasn't actually any, like, sexual abuse, really, in this movie. I mean,
everything was more or less consensual, I suppose.
Nothing Ernestina does is consensual. You've got the nipple licking. She's humiliated on the stage nude while she's like, what are you talking about?
That one I think is the only one. Is the tying up on the stage nude.
Okay.
The nipple licking, she was seducing him first. Let's not forget that.
Okay, but like coercive abuse? Come on.
Anyway. Hey, Dustin, a maybe is still a no.
Anyway, we're going to move on to our bit on this show, which is who is going to fight head of the family. This is an interconnected universe.
Ooh, ooh.
Who do we want to have head of the family versus blank?
Let's see.
And I guess we'll open this up to you guys' catalog as well, since you're here.
Is it going to be the entire family or just the head of family?
It would presumably be the entire family.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Because I know my answer.
I mean, I personally would like to see some of the puppets from Puppet Master cut his head open and do brain surgery.
That's not really a versus type competition, but okay.
Okay. Versus.
Because I know I would like to see a crossover with Head of the Family and Replicator.
I don't even know what that would look like, but I'd be there on I'd crowdfund that shit.
Head of the family versus sexual assault.
Gator Bear.
I'm glad you brought that soundboard with you.
That's the second soundboard.
Yes. Yeah. It's on my phone. It's just a clip that I can play. Like,
you've got that on your phone? That's
all. Well, yeah, because we're in a recording studio.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yes. That's why Casey keeps stepping out of the recording studio.
Right.
I can't help it. I got all these phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm very, very busy.
Okay. How about... how about Baby Oopsie versus Head of the Family?
Sure, fuck it. 5 seasons.
Sure, fuck it. 5 seasons. It's just a great philosophy on how to run a network.
That seem to be Charles Band's business model.
It's 5 seasons and another week.
Full moon motto.
Fuck it. It's fine.
Although I would like to see Baby Oopsie versus the Ginger Dead Man. That'd be fun.
Oh, who was going to tell me that Charles Band's most recent wife is the lead, the final girl from the Ginger Dead Man?
Is she?
Did anyone else know that? Because I found that out during Christmas when she was on The Last Drive, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Wow.
I didn't know anyone had the balls to marry that man.
It's his third wife.
He's tried twice before and no one's learned their lesson.
They think they're up for the challenge. They're like, no, I can do it. Nick. No.
I can fix it. Okay.
I think we've wrung as much entertainment value out of this movie as possible.
It's probably accurate.
So yeah, ultimate I think opinion of the room is this is a fun little black comedy. It's not a horror movie. Yeah. It is a weird little dude in a little seat, and there's just weird characters that you are excited to see get killed. If that sounds entertaining, go for it. You know, just be aware that there are copious amounts of sex scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, don't watch with your parents or your kids unless you're
starring in it. Then yes, watch it with your 16-year-old daughter. Apparently,
yeah. It's fine. Look, it's just watch this with them. Watch Saltburn with them. It's fine. Nothing matters.
Watch Nostril Picker with them.
Jesus God.
On repeat.
Oh God. Anyway. Well, our time is running up. We should.
Yeah.
I think Rich Evans is at the door.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's the case, that means we should probably run, because what I essentially did was call and see when they were using it and then decided to sneak in here. Is that what you did, Gabe?
No, I actually emailed. I emailed Gabe and told him I was from Red Letter Media and he could use the booth. I just wanted to hang out with you guys. I'm sorry.
That means that none of us have right to be here. We should probably get going.
Casey, do you want to ask me what we're watching next, so that in case you cut out while you're explaining it?
I might cut out just because of what this fucking movie is, because I hate that I have to say this, because next time we're watching Petticoat Planet.
Oh, are you actually going to watch that?
Yeah.
Oh, look,
I think we can't always be pulling the skip card just because it's softcore porn.
And plus, this one is actually on our streaming service.
Is that one on their website to stream?
Yeah.
What she's trying to say?
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have
a copy of that one too.
Next time we watch Petticoat Planet, a 96 sci-fi western. Directed by David de Coteau, also under a pseudonym, reusing the set for Oblivion.
Oh, yeah, we get some David Dakota man ass.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, something to look forward to, I guess.
Anyway,
looking up a picture of David Dakota.
You should you guys, for those of you out there, you should really like. Plan out your blackmail a bit more than not at all. And that's just a recommendation for everyone. And I suppose that I want all of you to have a horrible evening. And goodbye to everyone. Say goodbye.
Yeah. Check us out, foundonshelfpod.com.
Oh, I forgot you were here. Yeah.
Well, I was just walking out of the booth and I'm like, oh yeah, wait, I should plug our
shout
shit.
Out your shout out bulls.
We do movies that aren't Full Moon but are adjacent to the type of movies that Full Moon makes, weird and strange things. We release every other week, and right now we are only doing the third film in franchises, so we have a lot of fun suggestions that you can watch us torture each other with.
They are basically doing what we did with Trancers before they dragged us in.
All right. With that, I think we got to get out of here. I think the police are coming. So everyone, have yourself a horrible evening, and we'll talk to you the next softcorn porn.
Softcorn porn.
Make bad decisions.
Yes. Time for
make
the next
bad decisions. Something I don't know.
Drive fast, take chances.